In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to another edition of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman. He's John Senecal. We thought this episode we would focus on a couple things. We're going to take a look at April, sort of from 30,000 feet for both the Red Sox and the Yankees, maybe a little general baseball. And then we want to do a little deep dive into Bryce Harper, getting pegged.
Bryce Harper.
He got a little Boston accent in there by a 97-mile-an-hour pitch. There's a lot of nuances that actually sort of talk about baseball in general that you might not have thought about before today. So we look forward to getting into that, and then whatever tangents we go. Let's start with the month of April. I mean, for both teams, it was like the extremes, right? I mean, the Red Sox started terrible. The Yankees were whatever at the start. Then the Red Sox were on fire, and the Yankees were terrible. And now we get to the end of April, and they're almost – they're not totally the same, but they're not that far apart.
You'd think the Yankees are 15 games back.
I know, but they're not. They're one good week away from being in first, to be honest with you.
Nice to play Detroit. If you're always, if you're feeling down about yourself.
So you watched all the games. Is Detroit that bad?
Detroit is that bad. It's like if you're feeling down about yourself, you go to the State Fair.
So you're not totally buying into a Yankee renaissance yet?
Well, no. I mean, they are hitting, but they're hitting better. But they did play Detroit, so it's not, Judge had three home runs in the series and a grand slam. It is what it is. It's Detroit. Let's see, Tampa's next, but Tampa, they've scored a lot of runs, but their record isn't that great, and they're behind the Yankees.
Let's talk about the Yankees. What I'll say is that the AL East is not that good.
No.
I don't think it's that good. And so it's there for the taking.
It will get better, I hope.
So do you think the Yankees rip from here?
I think they're going to play a lot better than they only can do better, right? I mean, they have to do better, and they're going to do better. Yes, they will do better. So their pitching is looking a lot better. I mean, Cole is Cole. He's been Cole all season.
But I think the pitching is actually the starting pitching looks like it's going to be a strength.
Yeah, and their bullpen is amazing. Chapman is insane. He hasn't given up a run yet.
Until it counts. Fine.
Yeah, but I mean, he has, if you look at, he has four pitches now, and he's got like 23 strikeouts in 10 innings or something like that?
Maybe he's learning how to pitch, which we'll talk about later when it relates to Bryce Harper. No, I think the Yankees, the pitching is a strength. It's funny, the roster sort of regulated itself, right? They got rid of Tuchman, they got Jay Bruce retired, and now they're sort of weeding out the dead weight.
They sat Sanchez, right? Like they basically started Higashioka for a couple games. They didn't really say, Kyle, you're our catcher.
Right.
Which they should. He's just horrible. Gary's just, they either got
to. What is it? Is he just, when people get to a certain point, they just lose the edge? Thing or like what?
Maybe it's mental. I just don't think he's really a smart baseball player. I just think it's just everything's too much for him. I mean, let's put it this way. You think he would have figured it out by now, right? They keep giving him all these chances. There's not a ton of money invested in him either. Why not send him down to the alternate site and figure something else out, right?
So where else is – so you think Sanchez is a weakness, but
– Aaron Hicks.
Okay, so what about Hicks? What do you do with the guy? What's he hitting?
157.
Okay, what do you do with a guy who you thought would be a contributor?
And what they say about Hicks is he gets on base because he walks a lot. But you know what? It's not all about getting on base all the time. He's going to come up with people on base.
Well, the truth is,
what are you going to do? Walk with the bases loaded?
I'm okay with the money ball. I'm okay with the money ball philosophy. I do think that if you get on base, it's one thing, but you can't be batting under 200 and have that work, right?
No,
I mean, if you're a 250 hitter and you get a lot of walks, I understand it.
Because at least you're producing a quarter of the time.
Something,
right?
I mean,
exactly.
And so if you're batting under 200 and you're getting some walks, you're not really helping the team.
You ask, what are you going to do with them? I mean, you're going to send Aaron Hicks to the alternate site? No, you're going to release him, and someone's going to pick him up and probably go to a team like Oakland or something, and he'll wind up batting .375 the rest of the season.
So I think what might happen, let's see what happens when the AAA season gets going, or the AA season, and if there's somebody who has a hot start who could use the at-bats, maybe you just let him go.
And that's another thing, like totally off topic, the Martian, Jason Dominguez, the big, Yankee guy, the Martian. He's staying in extended spring training. They're not even going to put him in the minors yet. So, and they're not saying why.
What I don't know much about him.
So he's 18 years old now. He was signed for $5.1 million, I believe, as a 16-year-old out of, I think, Puerto Rico. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
What position?
Outfield, switch hitter.
Really?
He's not tall. He's named after Jason Giambi, but he has two S's in his name. And they call him the Martian because he's like a freak. Hits from both sides of the plate. Looks like he's like 35 years old. Right? But so they've been saying all along, this guy, he has not played any professional, like knock on wood professional baseball.
So don't you have to give him some at-bats, like somewhere else? Like, you can't just put him
in. But all this guy's been doing is hitting at, you know, extended spring trainings.
Right.
And
so he's not coming up to the big club right away.
No. But what I'm saying is he should be in the minor leagues.
Right.
He should be playing somewhere.
I'm talking about somebody coming up through.
Oh, no, that's why I said totally off topic. Okay. Totally off topic. Yo, I mean, who are they going to bring up? I don't know. I mean, you mean to tell me, like, you can't figure something out and get and just release him or whatever?
You probably could, but I think you'd want to get somebody. But I also think, like, some players, like, I've been watching Jackie Bradley for 7 or 8 years. I know there's tons of people who bat, you know, 150 for a month and a half and then somehow get hot and end up at 250 at the end of the year. So maybe, you know, he gets through May and figures it out. I mean, it you do have, you know, not a veteran manager, but a manager who's been around the baseball a long time, then maybe he knows how to manage Hicks well, and maybe he's is something we don't, so maybe he'll get to work it out.
And of course the big problem is, you know, when the team's struggling, you got to focus on the guys who are really struggling. Right. So, well, hopefully there is light. So hopefully, you know, you build on the Detroit series and you move forward.
Okay, let's talk about the Red Sox, because I really want to get to, like, the best part of the episode, I think, is talking a little bit about what happened to Bryce Harper. But with the Red Sox, are they the team that started 0-3? Or are they the team that ended April 17-10? And I think the truth is they're somewhere in between. I mean, I think they could beat anybody. They could lose to anybody. I mean, I can't tell you how great it is to see. I think Bogaerts, it's so strange that we say it like this. Like, he might be the most underrated player.
You don't hear anything about him. You really don't.
But he's got the most hits in the bigs, and he's just...
He's raking.
Yeah, and he's
solid. And JD's still hitting.
And so, I mean, I think that those two are core endeavors. It's, you know, hot and cold, but he's there. But, you know...
What about the pitching?
Well, I just think that... I think that
Garrett Richards looked good.
Yeah, but, you know, he turned it around. And but I don't really have a feel. I mean, I think, you know, Eovaldi, as long as he stays healthy, he'll be fine.
That's the key with Eovaldi, as long as he stays healthy. That's it. Like, he's a good enough pitcher. He's been around the game long enough. He throws hard enough. As long as his elbow is not falling off,
right,
he's going to service you.
But here's what I want to say about the Red Sox. I think Red Sox fans need to calm down. The key for me is, where do you want to be at the All-Star break, and what do you want to do? Like, if they win the division, that's great. Do I really, even with this start, do I expect them to win the division? I really don't. I mean, I still think the Yankees will emerge. I don't see Toronto. I don't think
the pitching is going to help Toronto.
I don't see Baltimore, obviously. So there's a chance. I mean, I do think it's going to be a Red Sox-Yankees division, but I think the Red Sox should be happy with a competitive season of the wild card. People got so excited because they dug themselves out of, like, writing the season off, that I think that people have lost a little perspective the quality of the team.
It's not only that. It's also that people are just so excited in general that baseball is back. So it's overemphasized. Like I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, they're playing fantasy baseball for the first time, and I'm like, you got to pump the brakes, right? Like, the season's long.
It's long.
Wicked long. So much can happen.
Oh, so you'll do it with them, but you won't do it with your old Channel 30 group.
No, it's too much pressure.
He was a commish for fantasy baseball for a while.
Yeah, a long time, like 15 years.
And then he just quit, and its life has never been the same.
And I haven't done it in, like, probably like 8 years. That was like 6-7 years ago probably we did it.
Yeah.
We quit.
So you were picking it up with the boys?
We just did it, like, him and a couple of our friends in town. We did, like, a weekly thing. You just set the rosters weekly, which is a whole other thing.
Right.
Like, it gets so annoying. You're like, I just want to switch my team, but you can't do it.
Well, and also on the flip side, baseball is a difficult thing. Fantasy sport. Like, football's easy. You set it once a week and you're fine.
Well,
baseball,
that's why we did it this way, once a week.
Yeah, if you do it every day, it's a lot. Sure.
It is a lot.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I really want to dig into this because, like, this is baseball. So Bryce Harper gets hit, I would say glanced, although you can't really talk.
Two players hit. Didi got hit. Didi got hit before that.
And then Harper gets hit. Really, it wasn't a direct shot to the face, but it was still a 97
miles an hour, they
said. And it could have ended his career.
Girardi went nuts.
And we want to talk about two different things. The one thing I want you to talk about is sort of like what happened after. Like, he was not hurt, right? I mean, I think he left the game, but then he's back in the lineup.
He went on and he posted something on Instagram, like, I think it was that evening or the next day. And he was basically saying, I'm here, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. Everything's good. And then, according to, like, I guess one of his coaches, he reached out to his, how do you say his first name? Yenesis.
What was his last name?
Cabrera, I believe. Yenesis Cabrera.
He's got that accent, ague, or what
yeah,
have you.
Yenesis Cabrera. Reached out to him and was, you know, very Bryce Harper-ish. If people like know Bryce Harper's story, he's very religious. You know, he's not the person that everyone makes him out to be and on the baseball field. He's just a very intense player, and it comes off as very douchey.
Right.
You know?
Right. But, I think that's what the word probably a lot of people
right, but he's
use.
Not. He's a really good person. He's a family man. He's married his high school sweetheart right, or the girl. Right. Anyways, so he reaches out to the guy.
What did he say?
And he basically says to the guy, you know, everything's cool. You know, I get it. You know, if you need to talk about it, you know, I'm here to talk about it, you know, keep doing what you're doing, that kind of thing.
Because he saw that the guy wasn't perfect.
Well, you could see, like, right when he threw it, you know, the guy was just like, oh my God. And he did it, you know, he did it with Didi too. But, you know, he's a young pitcher, you know, right. and I think Girardi came out and went crazy. And I think that's what he's saying, you know, this guy's out of control.
Well, here's the deal. Then after I read, you know, Ryan Zimmerman played with Bryce Harper in Washington. And I think he was asked about it. And he basically said, that's what baseball is. I'm paraphrasing. That's what baseball is in 2021. Everyone wants people who throw hard. So if you're 21 years old and throw 98, they're going to rush you to the big leagues. And the point is, some of these guys don't know how to pitch.
Right.
And they don't know where it's going half the time. And when you're messing with 95 to 99 miles an hour, that's a dangerous game. And the question is, what do you do? I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, teams can put anyone they want in there, but if a guy does, pitching is kind of an art. Throwing hard is like God given, right? I mean, there's all sorts of mechanics.
Well, it's not only that; it's how they grip the ball too. When you see the slow motion of a ball coming out of a pitcher's hand, it's not like you're watching a little league kid pitch and it's coming out of their hand. It's coming off their tips of their fingers. It's not coming out of their hand. So like fractions go wrong, and that ball is here, not here. You know,
I mean,
and it's crazy how fast when you look at that pitch from behind home plate, behind the camera, the pitcher, insane.
So, I've always long held, I mean, I think being a quarterback might be the hardest thing to do in all of professional sports, but I think being a baseball pitcher might be tied or second. I cannot believe that these guys throw hard.
Consistently.
Within a box. I mean, you know, even just throwing BP to my kid, I'm 3 feet outside every time because I don't want to do anything. And I mean, imagine throwing all out. So even if you're, you know, Roger Clemens, it's an incredible achievement. But
it is a treat watching Gerrit Cole pitch. I am like glad he's on the Yankees because I get to watch him pitch all the time. Like that guy is like an artist when he pitches.
Right.
And there's only a few of them out there that can do that.
And not everybody comes out of the womb like Gerrit Cole or Greg Maddux, who just knows how to paint it. And so I think that's because the money's so big now and the need for speed is so intense now.
Right.
They're rushing people to the bigs, and it hurts the product, but it also makes it dangerous. And that's the sort of takeaway from Harper. It's like, you know what? People are like, oh, it only happens a couple times a year. Why don't you shut up? And I said, fine, you know, maybe I should. But the point is that it could be a Tony Conigliaro type moment at any time, and I don't know how to stop it. But the guy, I don't know much about the guy who hit Harper, but clearly he doesn't know how to pitch yet.
No, I can't imagine what it's like to stand at a ball coming almost 100 miles an hour. I've stood in when people have thrown it like low 90s, and it's like the ball sings to you.
I don't even know how you can hit it though. That's why these guys.
You recognize it and get out of the way or hit it.
Right. And I think
it's probably easier to hit it than get out of the way.
Well, I think the guys who hit fastballs, I think a lot of them are just guessing the pitch, and if they get it right, they crank it, and if they don't, they strike out, and that's modern-day baseball for you. Obviously, you have to have great hand-eye, great timing, great discipline, but the thing is that a lot of times, they're just like, if they expect a fastball, they're going to jump on it. If they get a changeup, they're going to look silly. You know,
usually the pitcher misses the spot, too.
Right, but
99%
of the time. That's another thing, is when you really talk about baseball, and I'm not getting too detailed, but, you know, I find it amazing that they can take as many pitches.
Right.
Like, I mean, I would figure, like, you have to almost make that decision the second, not the second, the split second it comes out of their hands. And then for them, that's why I was always amazed at how plate discipline someone like David Ortiz was, because I would be like swinging no matter what.
Yeah. Well, that's how the Yankees were like last year, the year before, in 2019, the Savages. You know, it's like they still do layoff pitches, but not as much as they used to. They got to get back to that. They would lay off pitches. I mean, it's insane. Major League Baseball players in general do not swing at bad pitches.
Yeah, I find that crazy when the ball comes at you that quickly and you have to make that decision. But I think they're so good.
That's why they get paid so much money.
But that's
money.
Why, like, if they know the pitcher, they study the video, they look for any little tell
nowadays,
that lets them
crazy.
Know. Right. So they have to increase the odds of knowing
they
what
probably
the pitch
got a,
is.
They probably got a stack of stuff in their locker when they walk in on the starting pitcher and the guys that could possibly pitch.
That's the thing with a Pedro at his best, which was amazing, is that he truly mixed it up to the point where there's no way the hitter knew what was coming.
And he didn't care either, to be honest with you.
No, but if you had a good curveball, a really good change, and a 90 mile, back then 92 was worth it, and if you had those three pitches and they don't know, they can't get a beat on you sequentially.
Well, you could throw them all for strikes.
You're almost unhittable.
Yeah.
And
that's what Chapman's doing now. He's throwing them all for strikes.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens.
I mean, and has there been any talk in Yankee camp about, was it Garrett Whitlock, the Rule 5 guy? Have we talked about him at all? The Rule 5 guy they got from the Yankees. Have you not read into this at
no.
all? Oh, you got to read into this for the next episode, because this guy is
he with Boston now?
Yes. His name, I mean, it's been all over the place. I mean, his name's Garrett Whitlock. He just let up his first run.
I feel like I remember the name.
And I'm pretty sure he's a Rule 5 guy from the Yankees. And, I mean, they're grooming him to be a starter at some point. But he's basically, you know, 14 innings pitched, you know, 8 hits and 19 strikeouts. And they got him for nothing. So,
well, the Rule 5 is you got to keep him on the roster,
right.
Or you got to sell him back to give him back to the team for like 50
right.
grand or
well,
so. You pay like 50 grand for him and keep him on the roster.
Yeah, clearly he's getting it done. But we'll talk more about him.
No one better than the Rule 5 guy in Major League Baseball.
I mean, if they work out, right?
Well, even if you don't, you just kick back. You know?
You can't go down.
You can't go down.
They're going to be carrying your bags the whole year.
That's it. You get new Nikes and Oakleys the whole season.
That's right. You get that contract and you get your service time. And,
but good for him, though,
that
man.
That is it, yeah.
You know, I don't care what team you play for, man. I love the underdog story. We should do a whole episode on underdog stories. I've been reading a lot of stuff about these guys that have been coming up this year and making their major league debuts. Because a lot of the different like feeds, social media, have been putting it out. And there's been crazy stories about these guys, of junior college guys that were out of baseball that came back.
Right.
Crazy
story. Here's what we'll do for next episode. We'll each pick a 2021 underdog story,
yep.
And it'll be different. And we'll pick our favorite underdog story in baseball ever.
Ever.
In terms of players that just made it out of nowhere or had that one hot streak. I mean, you could even go back to like, you know, Tim Wakefield, who was a position player in the Pittsburgh system. And
turned
he
into
like,
a pitcher.
They're like, yeah. And then not only that, I mean,
who was a second baseman.
Yeah, totally. And they made they switched gears and they had near Hall of Fame careers or what have you. So that'll be the next episode on Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Obviously, enjoy us wherever you're enjoying us now. If you want to see our ugly mugs, you go to YouTube. If you want to listen to us, wherever you are now,
Spotify.
Apple, Spotify. And please listen, share, and like. And we will see you next time.